Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, pledging to help end child hunger in the Carolinas through ongoing support of Second Harvest Food Bank of Metrolina. Details about this initiative at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Marketplace host Kai Rizdahl recently joined us for a WFAE special event where we spoke about a number of things, including his rather different path to your radio at the age of 34 as an intern. We're going to share a portion of that conversation later in the program. But first, we're going to revisit a story that we became all too familiar with here in North Carolina, the 9th Congressional District race that originally pitted Charlotte pastor Mark Harris, a Republican, against Democrat Dan McCready. Neither man really won that contest because of election irregularities in Bladen County. Investigations into that resulted in an election redo. Harris dropped out the second time and was replaced by the eventual winner, then State Senator Dan Bishop. In short, it was a mess. And unlike allegations of fraud in the recent presidential election, which have come to be known as the big lie, the fraud in Bladen County was real and is now the subject of a deep dive investigation by the producers of the internationally renowned Serial podcast. This new series is called The Improvement Association, and we're joined by the chief reporter on that podcast series, Zoe Chase. Thank you for joining us. Welcome.
No problem. Thank you.
Also with us is a frequent guest, sometimes guest host of this program, and someone immersed in the goings-on in Bladen County, Dr. Michael Bitzer, chair of the Department of Political Science and professor of politics at Catawba College. Good morning, Michael. Welcome back.
Good to be with you.
Zoe, your parent podcast, if that's the right word, Serial, gained international attention. What made the makers of that podcast decide to do a deep dive into Bladen County, North Carolina politics, and you particularly? What made you interested in this?
Well, I hope they don't regret it. It is a different kind of story than they've done in the past. And because I had this very specific interest in it, because I had done some reporting on other election fraud allegations in Bladen County in 2016. And so what happened was in 2018, when the sort, you know, the congressional race in the 9th district kind of blows up and there's all this attention on it, lo and behold, it's the same parties that I covered in 2016, seemingly being like caught red-handed again, but like having done something with way greater consequences and disturbing a federal election, which is really rare, a congressional election, which is incredibly rare. And I just had to know how did this possibly happen again, but like worse. So it took Serial a while to like be interested in that. We had to really make sure that we had, we were going to be able to answer enough questions to support all that time.
And when you say the same parties that you were reporting on in 2016, one of those parties is a man named McCray Dowless, who we'll talk about in this conversation. Republican Mark Harris, in that first contest, the Baptist minister from Charlotte, he won by 900-some votes in that first go-round over Dan McCready. But then that election, as we've said, it was thrown out because of fraud. That's bad enough on its own, but it's also a singular moment in American history because it was the first time in 80 years that there was any kind of fraud that we know about, at least, in a congressional election. Given all of the rampant allegations of voter and election fraud by Republicans about elections all over this country, including the 2020 presidential election, should this singular example of absolutely true election fraud in one place give us reason to suspect that it does happen more often than we think, or that people just don't get caught? Or is this a singular example and that should give us hope that it doesn't really happen all that often?
Oh, no. I have so many answers to those questions. This is live radio. So I just, okay, to be brief, if I can, election fraud definitely does happen. It happens in sort of small insular places like this. By small, I don't necessarily mean rural. It could be in a city like Chicago or something, mm-hmm. but, you know, still in a like insular world where the relationships are kind of more important in than the politics. That's something that I feel like I learned from just watching what happened here with McRae, who still has to go to trial. The state board definitely concluded it was fraud, but we don't know sort of the extent of McRae's culpability, just to say. But accusations of election fraud, or as the former president used to call it, voter fraud, like that's a whole nother world of thing. Like that seems to me to be a purely political weapon. Even in North Carolina, you guys have done a ton. Well, who is it, Michael? It's like the attorney general. You guys did a big search for voter fraud to see how bad it was, right?
U.S. attorneys down east, yes.
Got it. And so, and they've spent years looking for that. And I believe they found a total of something like 40 people that seemingly mostly made mistakes. But the accusations of fraud against those people, I mean, those are just huge. You know, they lead to laws being passed, procedures being changed. Procedures being changed actually lead to more accusations of election fraud, when a lot of times people are just trying to get out the vote. So I think you have kind of two different worlds of an election fraud that can happen in a kind of insular place. And then you have these voter fraud allegations, which is like a political dynamic.
Michael, you've been on the show 1,000 times, and we've talked about this a lot when this was unfolding here in North Carolina, because it was a local story for us. But let's make the distinction here between voter fraud and election fraud. This instance in Bladen County was election fraud. So what's the difference?
So election fraud is the notion that somebody other than the voter is attempting to manipulate or change the outcome, the results, the inputs. Voter fraud is when the voter, the specific individual, is attempting to do something nefarious, felony, wrong to influence the outcomes. And I think oftentimes people think that they're one and the same, and they really aren't. And what we're seeing out of Zoe's podcast in the North Carolina Ninth are outside actors wanting to influence and affect and change potentially the outcome of voters who are legitimately submitting and participating in elections.
And as I said, we talked about this many times, and Zoe has spent hours and hours, I guess in background, she spent months and months on this story.
I can attest to that. Yes,
that's true.
The Michael, end was,
this, Dr. Bitzer did help out with this podcast, yeah. I should say.
The end result, the podcast, The Improvement Association, is how many, what, five or six episodes that
five
are around?
Episodes.
That are around, what, an hour each or so. So it's a lot of material. So I'm going to give you the unenviable task, Michael, of reminding listeners who either were here or were not in North Carolina during all of this, exactly what went on in Bladen County. Give me the thumbnail primer sketch of what actually happened down there from your point of view.
Well, from my point of view, it was McRae Dallas working on behalf of Mark Harris, the Republican congressional candidate in 2018. And McRae Dallas had developed this campaign operative organization and strategy. In North Carolina, you can vote by mail by requesting an absentee by mail ballot, receiving that ballot, and sending it back in. And for campaigns, what they generally wanted to do was target their likely supporters. And one way to do that was to encourage them to absentee by mail vote. They would then know when that absentee ballot request went in. They could then target that voter just to make sure that, hey, remember, my candidate is on the ballot, and hopefully get some votes out of it. What developed was this notion by McRae Dallas of going to people directly to their houses saying, hey, I understand you got your absentee by mail ballot, which was public information, public record. Can I help you with it? Or do you need assistance getting it to the Board of Elections? And therein lies the controversy, the mysterious middle, where supposedly absentee by mail ballots were sitting on McRae Dallas's desk and maybe never got to the elections board to be counted.
And evidently, this allegedly was not the first time this happened. McRae Dallas is kind of a hired gun. He has worked as a person for both political parties over time. And in this case, Mark Harris hired him despite his son's protestations or his warnings that maybe not everything is on the up and up with McRae Dallas. In fact, several people whom Dallas worked with testified that he paid them to collect ballots. Harris, Mark Harris, was never charged in all of this. Zoe, you point out that Republicans love to talk about this because it proves that election fraud is real. They just don't like to talk about who is responsible for it because in this case it was a Republican operative. Democrats like to talk about this scandal because it was Republicans who did it. And you say that you like talking about it because of this. There's a whole story behind this that we don't know. What's that story?
Well, I guess the story is about the relationships between people. In a way, the broken relationships between people in Bladen County that I think led to this kind of escalation of absentee ballots and this kind of absentee ballot war. And that in Bladen County and a lot of these, I believe a lot of these eastern counties in North Carolina, it just has a lot to do with race. It's really like you have places that are, Bladen in particular is about 60-40 black white, and in a place where there's been a lot of racially polarized voting, meaning that whites are just voting for white candidates and blacks are just voting for black candidates when they can. Oftentimes they can't, so they'll vote for a white candidate who seems to sort of represent black political interests. Anyway, there's just been this big divide. And as black political power has gotten built in Bladen County, the election fights seem to have gotten more vicious. Now, I didn't really do too much exploration earlier than 2010. So I kind of chronicle from 2010 on the way these kind of conflicts led to what I believe is this big cheating scandal. But I was most interested in the relationships between the people. At first, in the hearing itself in 2018, there was a lot of family drama, as anyone can remember who watched it. It's like McRae had hired his ex-stepdaughter and there was multiple ex-wives. Then there's Mark Harris and his son both crying in there because they haven't clearly discussed what his son's going to say on the stand. But I ended up looking into more the relationships both between members of this Black Get Out the Vote group, the Bladen County Improvement Association, who kind of started a big absentee ballot push there in 2010, and their relationships with the sort of white political establishment in Bladen County.
You know, Michael, in all of our conversations with you and other reporters who covered this as a local story when this was unfolding, I don't recall anybody ever bringing up the Bladen County Improvement Association. That skipped my mind and that it was there, but I didn't remember it. Do you remember it?
I do remember it because it was, and I'm going to use this term loosely, tit for tat. It was this notion, well, if McRae Dallas is doing it, this group called the Improvement Association, the PAC, is doing it just as well. And as Zoe, dives into and really explores deeply, there is a racial component to this dynamic that I think it is critical to understanding what all happened.
In fact, Zoe says that this all boils down to trying to get the black vote. That's the most important part of all this. We'll come back and talk about that in a moment. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the new podcast from the creators of the Serial podcast, the Improvement Association, which is all about what happened in the 9th Congressional District in Bladen County several years ago, 2018. Zoe Chase is the lead reporter on that, and she's with us today. You may remember her work from This American Life and elsewhere. Also, Dr. Michael Bitzer is here, chair of the Department of Political Science and professor of politics at Catawba College, who helped us cover this intimately several years ago. Despite the media's fixation in this area, at least, on McRae Dowless and his role in all of this, and he was indicted on 3 felony charges of obstruction of justice, 2 charges of conspiracy to commit obstruction of justice, and 2 charges of possession of absentee ballots, all of which he has yet to stand trial for. So he is still innocent until proven guilty of all these things. You say that the locals in Bladen County point out that the media, law enforcement, and judicial officials got this whole story wrong. How so?
Well, there, as Dr. Bitzer was saying earlier, there was a kind of a tit for tat, loosely speaking, where you'd go down to Bladen County. I think a lot of reporters had this experience early on, and you'd ask people about what had happened with McRae, and people would say, what about the Bladen Improvement Association? They've been doing this longer, they've been doing this worse, they started it and nobody cares. So there was also a kind of like cover-up implication to it, as though the state board only cared to look into Republicans or punish Republicans and not Democrats. There's a lot to say about that, but that was certainly in one case, a weapon, I think, just being used to kind of like try to move the spotlight off of exactly what McRae was doing and kind of blame it on like a greater culture of cheating in the area, which people love to talk about how things are always so shady or there's things that are so wrong. And sometimes people really do believe it. Like, it's not just a political weapon. They see things happening at the polls that look confusing, that look like they can't exactly be right. And then that leads to a perception that like there are multiple groups with their hand in the cookie jar. And, you know, maybe why was it just McRae? I mean, what McRae seemingly was caught doing allegedly was quite spectacular. But still, if you've been living in a place where you've been seeing a lot of stuff that looks weird to you, and then it's just McRae, I think there's some legitimacy to that. And there was some kind of like, let me get the spotlight off of the Republican Party elsewhere.
When we discussed this in the past on this program and elsewhere, the fact that this had been going on for a while, at least on the part of McRae Dowless, for one party or the other, it made us wonder out loud why somebody didn't do something about this, why the Justice Department didn't get involved, or why state elections or state justice officials didn't get involved. And you came to this, Zoe, because in 2016 you covered some of this and you wondered how this is continuing to happen.
Yeah.
How do you explain it? I mean, seriously, if there were these allegations going on both sides, why didn't nobody look into this?
Well, I think other North Carolina reporters would testify to this. It's very hard to get information out of the Justice Department. And I think a lot of us wanted to understand. After 2016, the state board, you know, the state board of elections in North Carolina, I think is pretty amazing. They have so much information. They're eager to share the information with you. They're very responsive to the press. And they try to be a fair board, as far as I can tell, in so many cases. But they don't have prosecutorial power. They can just recommend that something happen. And at the end of 2016, they basically were like, we're going to pass on the set of allegations that we have about McRae Dowless. Remember 2016, so Trump had just been elected. It was the McCrory governor's race that kind of brought everybody there. And we're going to pass this on to the Justice Department, and the Justice Department can take it from here. These are federal crimes. And then it just seems that the opposite happened. The feds didn't follow up on these allegations recommended by the state board. I don't know why. It does seem that you can judge from the moment, like Jeff Sessions was in charge of the Justice Department. There was a new guy, I guess, Brian Higdon, who I don't know in particular his politics, but he seemed to be, you know, he's a new Trump appointee. The priority was not this particular investigation. As you learned in North Carolina, the priority was trying to like comb through these voter rolls and find people who had voted as a felon or voted twice or something like that. And that was what they were interested in. And McCray, you know, I think he just, instead of being chagrined, and if I had been able to interview McCray, I would love to know this, instead of being cowed by what it, by this near miss, it does seem like people in Bladen County who are sort of power players there reached out to him. They connected him with Mark Harris, and Mark Harris, you know, wrote a check to McCray to bring him in before his campaign had even started. McCray was going to be the linchpin of his campaign. And I don't really get into this in the podcast because the sort of work that I do involves talking to a lot of people, and I couldn't talk to McCray. So all this stuff is kind of through like my reading of other reporters, talking to people in background, that kind of thing. But I can't explain why the Justice Department didn't do what they were asked to do.
Your podcast is called The Improvement Association, after the Bladen County Improvement Association, PAC. And one person that you did talk to is a man whose name I'd never heard until I heard about your podcast. And he's the man who invited you, I believe, to come to Bladen County and look into this. His name is Horace Munn. He reached out to you. If that group, the Improvement Association, who has had fingers wagged at it in the past from people for who accuse it of shenanigans, had they been guilty of anything, and if they are guilty of anything, why would he invite you to come and investigate?
Well, that is one question. You have to, it's a hard thing to like overcome that bias, because there's a feeling, at least I have as a reporter, if somebody really wants to talk to you and somebody else really doesn't, you're like, well, what are you hiding? And, but at the same time, people want to get their own story out. You know, and so that could have been motivation for Horace. So we actually, it was a sort of weird dynamic of the whole thing, was spending a lot of time trying to prove that the Bladen Improvement Association had been cheating in order to sort of verify Horace's story that they weren't. You know, like there's just a lot of work of like, yeah, try to prove a negative that is very tricky to do. And it, like, But because, like I said, the state board, you know, they really, at least now, I did get a box of notes from one of the investigators, Marshall Tudor's work in 2010, that was, it was quite disorganized. It was like on the back of envelopes, phone numbers and stuff like that. But like, they really were forthcoming with the sort of documentation of what they had looked into at the time. So it's not just like Marshall Tudor, who was this investigator at the State Board of Elections. Even if he had an agenda now, there's all these notes of like what he did then. And what happened with the Bladen Improvement Association is like, there were a few mistakes that they made in their program. And I could get into those, it would take a minute, but I totally could. There were a few mistakes, and there were a lot of allegations that didn't add up to anything. And there was also some misunderstanding, again, of like, how intense their get out the vote push was, and people thinking that it looked illegitimate when it wasn't. And you can see that in all the documents, but you know, not that many people take the time to do
Since most people listening probably have never heard of the Improvement Association, their whole modus operandi is to improve the lives of Black people in Bladen County and to encourage them to participate, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, in participating in the voting process. But they have been accused by others of bullying voters, of tampering with ballots, and with stealing votes outright. None of those accusations, according to your reporting, has ever been substantiated, but they continue to persist. Does the Bladen County Improvement Association have a theory about why they're being accused of these things?
Yes. Well, Horace will always say that when Black people are successful, white people will look at it as illegitimate. And that is just a kind of, it's like, it's a racist dynamic, even if like, even if sort of white law enforcement or white political interests aren't doing that on purpose, that there's just like a dynamic that being able, for example, with blatant improvement, something they did in 2010 was to propel a Black sheriff into office, the first time in that county that had ever happened. And there was a lot of doubt that they could do it legitimately by people who had been there for a long time. Just like, no way, you must have cheated. That wouldn't happen here. Like, we couldn't possibly do that. So that would be a Horace theory. Just to also say one thing really quickly about like all the allegations against them that have come up that I looked at. One thing that I found to be a helpful guide was there are, when something, at least with what happened allegedly with McRae, there's a lot of voter complaints. There are a lot of voter affidavits saying that I was hurt, I was wronged. I don't know where my absentee ballot went. Somebody came and took it, like things like that. In another case, I was intimidated at the polls. With blatant improvement, I found a lot of accusations against them and I found documentation about people look into it, but I didn't find any voter complaints. Nobody said that like their vote had been taken from them. They didn't get to vote the way they want to. And I found that to be, you know, not definitive, but helpful in terms of kind of seeing, was there a there or not? Was somebody maybe looking at from the outside at a powerful get out the vote campaign and seeing something they didn't like, or were voters actually being hurt by this? And I didn't find any voter complaints with them.
According to reports that I've read, and this could be Zoe's reporting, Michael, but it also could be other reports from the Raleigh News and Observer or the New York Times, because I read a bunch of stuff yesterday. Most of these complaints over the Improvement Association is coming mainly from white Republicans who insist that whatever McRae Dallas has been up to, the Improvement Association has also been up to it just as bad, and they were doing it first. One of the complaints involves these allegations of intimidating Black voters into accepting voter assistance or voting assistance, even if they didn't want that assistance. Zoe did look into that, and state investigators also looked for evidence of that, and neither of these people, either Zoe nor the state people, found anything to substantiate those allegations. But to the critics, the absence of that evidence, quote, only proves the power of the Improvement Association. So, Michael, is this just another example of what has been happening on the right nationwide? Refusal to believe something that contradicts a mindset.
I think certainly confirmation bias plays into this, that if it isn't proven, it's still there. And you can never ultimately disprove something because people's gut reaction, their emotional intelligence will tell you there is something going on. I can't prove it, but I know it's there. And I think undergirding so much of what our political discourse has been centered upon is the absence of evidence, the absence of facts, and the proliferation of fallacies that one could never prove because, well, you looked into this, but did you look into that? And then did you see this particular one? And oh, by the way, there was this going on. And it's all kind of this hearsay that clouds and deludes people into thinking there is something going on. I just can't prove it. And that strikes at trust, that strikes at integrity, that strikes at the very foundation of what we the people are organized around, I think.
To the best of my knowledge, at least Q wasn't involved in this particular situation. Prior to the Dan Bishop, Dan McCready election, which was ultimately the election that decided who went to Congress, and Dan Bishop did, Dan McCready, the Democrat, I'm told, did everything he could to distance himself from the Improvement Association. But when it looked like he might need their help, they refused to give it to him. Why did he avoid their help in the first place? And did their refusal have anything to play in what happened in the outcome of that election?
I'm going to go backwards with that. Okay. It didn't. I don't think it did. Just because we did our own sort of analysis of the McCready election, and the biggest difference that you can see between 2018 and 2019, which was a special election, actually had a lot to do with the Lumbee turnout in Robeson County, right? Yeah. And Dan Bishop, it seems like, really made a lot of inroads with that community. And Robeson County is a fascinating place. I can't wait for the podcast on Robeson County. But
will there be one?
I hope so. Like, I just, it's amazing. Like, it's a real swing area. But also, like, I don't think that, so first of all, yes, Dan McCready definitely distanced himself from any association with the PAC. The PAC at the time was being, or the Late Improvement Association PAC, the PAC at the time was being brought up, you know, as this constant, like, okay, but what about the PAC? What have they done? They've done all these things. What about 2016? They weren't investigated. A lot of, I think, misreporting and kind of throwing their name around. Dan Bishop was doing it, kind of throwing their name around as election frauders, voter frauders, even though, you know, obviously Dan Bishop had a lot to answer for on his side. But the McCready campaign also, they didn't really work with local PACs. They told me they like hired all their own people all over the 9th district to get out the vote stuff. So I just think that for Horace and for PAC members, they saw a kind of like Republican coming together around McCray and Dan Bishop and Mark Harris and kind of everybody, maybe not Mark Harris actually, but just around a sort of protection around that idea of whether or not they had really committed a crime in 2018. And Horace did not feel that same backing in general. He was like, my group is innocent and you have Dan McCready out here. He's not defending us. He's just saying like, I don't know them. There are no big Democrats kind of like jumping to our defense. And it's very frustrating. And for him, it feels racist. In Bladen County specifically, I will just say that like, I don't believe it was the McCready campaign itself that reached out to the PAC at the last second. I think it was local Democrats who had some money from the McCready campaign who were trying to get out the vote. But it doesn't really matter because the way the PAC took it was like, nobody cares about us. We got you guys affidavits in your 2018 hearing and now you come crying to us. The truth of whatever McCready's campaign's real strategy was at that moment, it didn't matter because it had already caused such deep feelings and frictions within the PAC itself.
If this all sounds complicated, it's because it is. And that is why it requires 5 installments of a new podcast called The Improvement Association, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts. It's the principal reporter, Zoe Chase, has been with us for this part of the program, along with Dr. Michael Bitzer, who contributed to the podcast in many different ways, the chair of the Department of Political Science and Politics at Catawba College. Thank you both. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, pledging to help end child hunger in the Carolinas through ongoing support of Second Harvest Food Bank of Metrolina. Details about this initiative at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.